This is LBC with Andrew Pearce. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
So before we go back to your calls, and a lot of you want to get involved in the conversation, I'm pleased to say lots of calls tonight from LBC. Very good callers too, as ever. We're going to go to the United States because it's been announced that Ariana Grande, who was, as you know, performing at the Manchester Concert Hall when the bomber struck. She just finished her concert. She has made an announcement. Let's talk to Simon Marks, who's LBC's US correspondent. Simon, evening.
Evening to you, Andrew.
The Ariana Grande, what has she said, Simon?
Well, she's published a long and absolutely heartfelt letter on Twitter. This is the first thing that she said publicly since an earlier tweet shortly after the attack on Manchester Arena, in which she described herself as feeling broken by events. And this is a beautifully written letter. It says her heart's prayers and deepest condolences are with the victims of the Manchester attack. There is nothing I or anyone can do to take away the pain you are feeling or to make this better. She says she will be returning to the incredibly brave city of Manchester to spend time, as she puts it, with my fans and to have a benefit concert in honour of and to raise money for the victims and their families. She urges her fans, as she puts it, never to quit or operate in fear, not to let this divide us. We won't let hate win. And she culminates the letter by saying, when you look into the audience at my shows, you see a beautiful, diverse, pure, happy crowd. Thousands of people, incredibly different, all there for the same reason, music. And she says, music is meant to heal us, to bring us together, to make us happy. So that is what it will continue to do for us. And she says that the victims and families of those killed in the Manchester attack will be on her mind and in her heart every day. I will think of them with everything I do for the rest of my life. So Ariana Grande indicating an intent to return to Manchester. She doesn't know when yet. She says she's had outreach and offers from a variety of other musicians, so it may well be that this is part of a much bigger benefit concert that features other acts as well. But she plans to return to Manchester, it would seem, in the relatively near future to raise money for the victims and their families. She has also tweeted a message urging people to support the British Red Cross appeal to assist those whose lives were lost and their families in Manchester. So that's the update from Ariana Grande.
Well, good for her, Simon, actually. She's only young, I think, isn't she? She's 23 or something.
I believe that's correct.
And it must have been traumatic for her.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm bound to say what's been so revealing about the last week is the extent to which I think people like me, who are not, frankly, plugged into the music of Ariana Grande, have come to understand the extent to which her fan base is absolutely dedicated, absolutely loyal, and reflecting many of the messages that she gives voice to in that letter. And as I say, it's extraordinarily articulate, and I will retweet it so anybody that wants to read it themselves can hop over to my Twitter account or to Ariana Grande's Twitter account. She's got a few million more followers than I have.
Yeah.
And read it for themselves.
She'll have a few more million after that tweet, too.
I think so.
Like you, Simon, I'm afraid I'd never heard of her, actually, but why would I?
We are of a certain age.
We are of a certain vintage. Now, talking of people of a certain age, a certain 70-year-old has just returned to the United States, 9 days away. Is this the longest period Donald Trump has been president of the United States when there has not been a major gaffe?
Well, I think that depends on your definition of major gaffe.
Right.
He's actually not back yet. He's still in Sicily. We think he's going to be back here, I think, tomorrow night or Sunday.
Yep.
He definitely wants to be back here in time for Memorial Day on Monday, when by tradition the President of the United States heads over to Arlington National Cemetery here in Washington, D.C. to pay tribute to the country's fallen. I mean, look, the reviews of this trip are mixed.
Right.
On the one hand, no major gaffes, no major disasters. On the other hand, he continues to be dogged by a series of questions that he will face once again when he gets back here, now particularly about his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, questions circulating about his possible involvement in that whole Russia probe that is underway. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that it was exactly a week ago when you and I were breaking the news to everybody that he referred to James Comey as a nut job in the Oval Office, given all the events, both there and here over the last week. That's been pretty extraordinary. The reviews, I have to say, of his visit to NATO here in Washington from Democrats and Republicans alike have been overwhelmingly negative. People very critical of that speech he made at NATO, which was focused so much on the need for NATO members to pay their fair share.
Naming and shaming, wasn't he?
Yeah, and so little on his commitment to NATO's collective defence agreement. And, you know, people are often very critical of those of us who cover Donald Trump. Let me tell you what one very senior Republican here, John Boehner, until recently the Speaker of the House of Representatives, at the time the most powerful elected Republican in Washington, no shrinking violet liberal. Let me tell you what he's had to say over the last few hours. He's told an audience here in the United States that he thinks that so far the Trump presidency, his words not mine, has been a complete disaster. That's quite a negative review for the president to be returning to.
It is. And I suppose he thought on the one hand he was being very clever in embarrassing those countries that don't pay their fair share of NATO, which is most of them. Happy to say it's not Britain. But as you say, he omitted to make his own commitment to NATO. And that it's important, isn't it, Simon? Because he said before the election that NATO
was obsolete.
They all wanted to hear that from him, but I think it speaks to a slightly wider truth about the Trump presidency.
You know, they are unbelievably short-staffed because so many jobs at the State Department, in the National Security Council, in the White House more generally, have yet to be filled. And so when he travels on a trip like this, or when he heads down to Mar-a-Lago and he meets the Chinese president, for example, he's traveling with a relatively small number of close aides and trusted advisors. And they are not necessarily themselves sufficiently steeped in how you prepare these big set-piece speeches and these big set-piece events. And even those that are may not sufficiently be steeped in the specifics of policy that he's expected to address. And, you know, look, it's a learning curve. There's no question about that. But equally, we're 4 months in. NATO leaders went to Brussels. They wanted to hear a message from Donald Trump. And they didn't hear it. And that, I think, has damaged him.
OK, that's Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, talking about Donald Trump's first overseas trip.